6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I'm excited because I found out so much shit. Like, I knew a few of these things. Most of the stuff in there is shit I didn't know before. And it's so much darker. It's so much darker than what I thought. And I didn't even fucking cover any aspect of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. I mean, we have to save that for its own episode. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Okay. But anyway, we're not digressing that far, you know. Hello. Welcome to Macabre, a dark history podcast. I'm Blair.
I'm Hallie.
And if you're new here, hello. Welcome. We freaking see you. And we are so happy that you're joining us. It means a lot to us that you are here. We are definitely a big old family here at Macabre, and you are absolutely welcome and a beautiful addition to this, dare I say, strange and weird but hilarious family. So thank you for choosing us as your entertainment of the hour. And we're switching it up this time, and we're doing housekeeping on the front end, my friends, because we have a lot to share with you. There have been some updates since the last time we recorded. As some of you know, we batch record. So we're kind of time traveling in a weird way. And so things have been changing. So at the time of recording this, you may have seen a different type of Macabre Fact of the Day on the Facebook group if you're part of that with us. And that is, Patreon is changing, my friends. So thank you so much to all of our new Patreon members. It means the absolute world to us because, you know what? We would absolutely love to do this full-time if we could, but Hallie and I, we're kind of the real deal and we still have a 9-to-5 job.
Working 9-to-5.
Yeah, and that's like, putting it politely, it definitely isn't 9-to-5. It's much longer hours than that. But just to say, we have regular jobs as well. And we are working our darndest to do everything we can for you because we love doing this and we love hanging out with you. So here's what's going on Patreon. Now, Macabre hotties, get excited. On your tier on Patreon, we have given you something. We've been talking about it. We're really great at teasing. We now have shirts. If you are a Macabre hottie for 3 consecutive months, you will get a t-shirt with our Macabre logo on it as a way to rep as a hottie with some pretty hot graphics on your shirt. So strut that one runway, my friends, because you now can have a t-shirt. Merch is coming. Eventually. We are not giving dates because you want to know what? Rome was not built in a day. We are working very hard. We want to deliver. We want to give you what you're asking for. I hear you, Facebook fam, about the macabre field trip, we would absolutely love to do that. We are working on it. We promise. When we say we're working on it, we are. Sometimes it's just a little bit slower than others. But I digress. I just wanted to share the exciting news. So Macabre Hotties, 3 months, and you get a sexy shirt. Cue the saxophone. We don't have a saxophone, but maybe later. So thank you, everybody on Patreon. You fucking rock. We had to put that out there. If you aren't on the Patreon, we highly recommend it. Yes, I know you've probably heard that how many times, but you can listen to our episodes early and ad-free. And if you're curious about what we look like and you're not on the Facebook page to see our faces, well, oh, are you in for a treat? Hallie's great looking.
Oh,
Blair, not so much.
Not true. Not true.
Oh, I have makeup on today. This isn't what I always look like. Wink. Anyway.
It's worth it just to see her facial expressions.
Yes, I've been told I'm too expressive for podcasting, but really, podcasting. Do I have a voice for a podcast? You know, we get into some weird shit over there, okay? Different episodes, too. Get to find out a little bit more of a personal side of both of us, you know, things like that. But yes, that is available. Early ad-free episodes on Patreon. And like I've been mentioning, we have the Facebook group. So hello to our fam. Big shout out to Brenda. We really, really appreciate everything that you've been putting out there. And it has intrigued us so much. We are looking into some of that stuff you've been putting on. And Brenda, we love you. Thank you so much. You can absolutely join. It's private, but you just ask us.
Just nicely.
Just say please. That's kind of all it takes. And to be kind in there. That's all we ask. And guess what? It would help if you told a friend the good old fashioned way. Because if you're listening, you probably have a friend that's also kind of weird, you know? Weird and curious. So tell a buddy. And we definitely love the ratings and reviews. It really does help us. It really gets our name out there to keep this shite going. So that's what I have. I believe it's quite clean in here now with the housekeeping. Are we ready to get down to business?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, you probably already read what this is today, but oh, do we have some shit in store for you. Today we are covering a very interesting topic, which will kind of eerily mirror what we talked about last season for O. We'll get to that. Well, it's all about that macabre behind the scenes on a movie set. O is for on set this season. And if you're a movie buff, we hope we are delivering things that you haven't heard before. Quite the history. Are you ready for the hype notes?
Give it to me.
All right. So I have. For over a century, we have been captivated by movies. It takes talent and creativity to make movie magic. But have you ever wondered what the story is behind the script, behind that weird scene you just watched? Well, join us as we discuss the dark side of props, actors, and some really unexplainable events.
Ooh, spooky.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Today will be a little bit different than what we're used to. We like to chat and do storytelling. There will be a little bit of that, but today it's kind of one huge macabre morsel on steroids. Yeah.
I like that.
I tried breaking it up into categories, so hopefully that will work out. Listeners, got a question for you. Milk? Honey? Sugar? Some crumpets? What do you like in your tea? Because we're about to fucking serve it to you today. Oh yeah, it's going down. Some of these things you may already know, but hopefully I'm throwing in some stuff that you have yet to think and chew on, some new info. And just a heads up, I know we have mentioned this in the past, we will not be covering anything from The Wizard of Oz today. That is saved. There is way too much. It definitely deserves its own episode, and it will get its own episode. If you hear anything about The Wizard of Oz today, it is just from a quote from a director, which we'll talk about. And before we really get into any information, I am going to let you know there are multiple trigger warnings with this episode, and I mean every fucking trigger warning you could ever think of. Murder, violence, animal cruelty, sexual assault, mental manipulation, the works, okay? If this is not something that you are comfortable with, I did try to break that up in between, so please skip ahead, skip back, whatever you need to do. Just know that it is a trigger-filled episode. Negative energy is not allowed. That shit can get out of here. We'll talk about that at the end. I may or may not have had a nightmare after talking about one thing, but Hallie will understand when we get there. And here we go. Ready and action.
Action.
Today we will not be discussing theater or TV shows, strictly movies. That is content for another day because that is also a huge bag of worms that we weren't able to fit in your ear holes this episode. Strictly movies, and these categories will intertwine with each other, but I did try to break them up as much as I could. We'll be talking about the following categories: props and special effects, moral mistreatment, historical cringies, death, cursed movies, and banned movies. I feel like that just sounds like a Macabre Jeopardy topic.
It does.
Like, immediately makes me think of, like, SNL Celebrity Jeopardy. Like, Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, special effects. That's not what your mother said last night, Trebek.
Maybe a game for the end of season two.
That would be freaking awesome. We should do that. We should do that. That'd be so fun. Okay. And we have categories within those categories. So there's subcategories, so many categories, but we'll break it up. It won't be confusing, I promise. And if you're confused by the end, you can yell at me. It's fine. But we're going to start with props and special effects, which we will be talking about radioactive sets, guns, helicopters and aeroplanes, fake snow, toxic makeup, real corpses and cadavers, animals, and stunts gone wrong. So let's start with some radioactive sets. We kind of have to start by talking about the movie that came out in 1956 called The Conqueror. This starred John Wayne as Genghis Khan. Interesting. Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah. A lot of people say he should have stuck with Westerns, but he tried to branch out. If you look up a picture, you're like, ooh, okay, maybe not. This film already had its problems. We won't get into that. That's a big old can as well that won't be opened. But the biggest thing to mention about The Conqueror was that the location was filmed in a very dangerous area. The location actually took place in Utah, not the safest distance away from an old nuclear test site.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. They were downwind from it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they were told many times, even by the government, that this was a safe place. This is no longer a problem. You will be totally fine. Guess what? They totally weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And many will still argue about this to this day. And I understand why, because, you know, things aren't taking place immediately when you're not, like, in it, like, in the site itself and, like, licking the ground, you know, for immediate effect. Some of this kind of took 20 years to really come to fruition. When I tell you stats, I think it's kind of hard to say that, yeah, it was not a safe place. A lot of people didn't believe it was dangerous. A couple people on set had their worries, but kind of brushed it off because they didn't feel, see, or, you know, really realize the imminent danger that they were putting their bodies in. There were a significant amount of people who died from cancer from that movie, including director Dick Powell, actress Agnes Moorehead, and John Wayne. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, John Wayne was like a heavy smoker. It probably had a lot to do with that. Well, I don't think it was fully that, though. We'll get into that. 91 people that were involved with the film, cast and crew, including both here, developed cancer. That was half of their crew. that died from cancer.
Yeah, that's pretty significant, I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people argue it because, you know, a lot of these signs and symptoms weren't coming into play for like another 20 years, but that's how that kind of stuff works. People will say, hey, like, you know, John Wayne was like a really heavy smoker, so that's what did it. But a lot of people don't really put two and two together that his son was on set with him a lot, and he took him on walks a lot of the time during his breaks. His son also died of cancer. Yeah, not a great place. Something similar happened on the 1979 film Stalker. The filming took place in a location in Estonia, which was in an abandoned hydroelectric power station. If that wasn't weird enough, they were downstream from a chemical power plant. They were fucked from the get-go. Like that, the director, Andrei Tarkovsky, his wife, Larissa, and actor, Anatoly Solentizens all developed cancer and died. Other people involved with the movie say that they think it was caused by the radiation exposure because they knew that was a thing while they were filming. Yeah, I tell you, movie magic. It's not always magic.
I'm surprised they didn't have to sign. I wonder if they did have to sign some sort of,
right?
Like, you know, like I release liability, or if there was anything like that that they
that's a good question.
Had to do.
Right. I'd like to see documents like that. Because it's like, if they knew about it, okay. I mean, I guess you were giving the permission. But like, if you didn't know, like clearly the people on the set of The Conqueror were like, they were told they were okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just crazy. It's crazy to think just how dangerous some of that stuff is. And I mean, wait till we get to other stuff. But like, yeah, the toxic stuff that was used, just so not good. All right, we're going to talk about guns now. And we can't go without mentioning The Crow on this topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the 2024 remake, but the one from 1994. When he only had 2 weeks left of filming, Brandon Lee, if you didn't know, Bruce Lee's son, who played Eric Draven, was scheduled to film one of the stunt scenes involving prop guns. The 28-year-old was accidentally shot in the abdomen when filming by his co-star, Michael Massey, who played Fun Boy. It was not a prop. Something got lodged and something definitely hit him. So Brandon was later confirmed dead in the hospital. He was engaged to his fiancée, Eliza Hutton, and they planned on getting married right after The Crow production wrapped up. Michael was absolutely devastated by what happened and was haunted for the rest of his life. He quit acting for a decade after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had a really hard time getting over it. He ended up passing away in 2016 at the age of 64 with stomach cancer. Which leads us to the next one. So a lot of stuff we talk about today is older. And a lot of people think, well, that shit would never happen today. Like, that wouldn't fly today. I mean, that's not a thing. But it did.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yep. This happened in 2021 on the filming of Rust. And it may sound familiar when we start talking about who was involved. And before we can think that that was like just a really long time ago, well, 2021, we had some different techniques to use in filming by then too. 1994 to 2021, we've had some things change, but clearly not enough safety precautions. So if this sounds familiar, Rust is an independent Western film that was...
Yes!
Yep.
It was Alec Baldwin?
It was Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When he was prepping for a scene that involved a revolver. Let me say that again. The gun went off, and to everyone's surprise, it had a live round in it. The shot struck cinematographer Helena Hutchins and director Joel Souza. Hutchins would not survive her injuries. Souza was hospitalized but later recovered and did come back to the set. Baldwin was dismissed from involuntary manslaughter cases July 12th to be exact, of this year. This has been going on for quite some time. The armorer for the movie has actually received a sentence, so Hannah, their armorer, was convicted this year of involuntary manslaughter, and she was sentenced to 18 months in prison. There are a couple of other things they're looking into still about this, and up till this point, it does not sound like they are a full decision on whether or not they want to keep filming this movie or not. It's kind of in the balance still. Yeah. A lot of stunts gone wrong with guns over the years.
Yeah, I just don't see how you end up with, like you have one job, right?
Yeah.
When that's your job, that is your job.
Yep.
Your job is to make sure that no one dies on set. Mm-hmm. You have one job. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you end up with a real bullet in a gun?
Right.
Period.
Right. And reading some of the reports on the case file that they had on this, the only places where they found the actual live rounds that were being put in things, he had one in the gun. And then there was this like cart thing that they had just like set stuff on when they were about to use things, but like it was just kind of away so they could get the filming done. There was a handful that was just, they were set loose on top of this thing that they set crap on. Those were real too. So it's like, you wonder about it. Like, is it planted? You know, what's going on? I think after we get through this episode, you might be a little bit more paranoid about Hollywood and the intentions of people behind the scenes. And I'm not pointing fingers. Absolutely not. But like, there's some weird shit that happens in Hollywood that is like kind of mafia level. So who knows? You know, was it a setup? Was it something else? Was it strictly an innocent mistake? We won't know for a while, I don't think. I don't think that Hannah intentionally was negligent with that kind of thing. It's a weird, weird situation. There's so many people on a set at all times that it's like, who can you really point at, you know?
Right.
But sometimes you know exactly where the blame needs to go, which is absolutely the case in our next subtopic. Helicopters and aeroplanes. We can't talk about anything with this subject until we talk about the Twilight Zone movie. Yeah, what a nightmare. When filming the 1983 movie, The Twilight Zone, it was four stories in one movie. Each story in the movie was done by a different director. So not everything was done by the same guy, luckily, but still, not a fan. There was a lot that should have never happened while filming this movie, all of which led to one of the biggest accidents in film history. One night that happened to be the last day of shooting, mind you. How does this always happen like this? Actor Vic Morrow and two child actors, Renee Chin Yi and Mika Dinley, who are only 6 and 7, went to film this scene running from a helicopter. There's a lot wrong with this to begin with. So we'll start by saying the helicopter lost control.
Oh, no.
Yep. And it crashed and hit all three actors.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. The scene was deleted from the final cut, as you can imagine.
As it should have been, yeah.
Yep. Even worse, the kids weren't even supposed to be on set during that time. They started filming this shot after 2 a.m. in the morning when the child welfare workers were not on site to supervise what was happening. More to come on that. They absolutely were violating the child labor laws at that time. There have been changes made since then, but it was too late for those two, unfortunately. So you had no child welfare workers on site. In the reports that I found, it says that the director and producer both tried to get away with cheaper costs with the child labor law stuff and getting away and through loopholes on some of this stuff. And to be more efficient with filming and whatever, they used children that they were acquainted with. So since they have an acquaintance with these people, there's a little bit more freedom at that point anyway, because it was a thing of trust. It was also something that really wasn't legal because they were paying these kids under the table, you know, with cash. So nothing was really like giving receipts on things and how things were going. So who's to say how they were truly being treated? Because of this scenario, I don't think it's very well. Director John Landis allegedly joked throughout filming the movie that they were all going to jail And they were, you know, trying to fly under the radar because they were all going to go to jail if they found out they were paying these kids under the table, you know. The director, producer, and three other working on set were tried for involuntary manslaughter, but they were acquitted.
Of course they were.
Uh-huh. The thing is, it's not that this is the only sketchy thing that Landis pulled while filming this movie. He opted for real shotguns and ammunition for a few scenes. Actor Vic Morrow found out about this and absolutely refused. He's like, I am not doing this. I don't know how, but Landis ended up convincing him that this was okay and it wasn't going to be long and he is going to be just fine. And then as soon as they went to film the scenes, he said, yeah, you're going to have to run pretty fast away from the gunfire. Yeah. In my opinion, I think Landis definitely should have been tried and charged with the cumulative chaos that happened on set, because a lot of that shit was not okay. And to try to coax people into doing shit that they don't want to do, especially when it involves very dangerous things, is a story as old as time in Hollywood. And that's a big reason why a lot of these things ended up just completely going in disaster. So more to come on that. But Landis, dude, no way. Yeah. Other stuff happened with the Twilight Zone movie too, but that's the big one. The other one that kind of involved a similar situation was a movie called Tora, Tora, Tora. If you've never heard of it, it's a 1970 film. It's a movie that followed the days following up to Pearl Harbor. And Tora in Japanese means tiger. And this is a chant that was like a very famous phrase with Japanese soldiers. They would chant this to get prepared to go into war and battle. And allegedly this was the signal to begin the attack on Pearl Harbor that they used. I watched this movie in high school. It's pretty interesting. A lot of times when you see war films, you're seeing it from kind of your own perspective because it was filmed by people in our views for the most part. This is from a different perspective. So it's pretty interesting to see the thought process and the mindset behind it. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, especially if you like war films. Anyway, why does this movie make the list? Well, there is a scene in the film where people are running from an exploding plane. And the plane wasn't supposed to do that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Those people were actually running for their lives. It wasn't just them being really, really good actors. They were definitely not acting. After knowing that and watching, I think you can find that scene on YouTube. You're like, oh my gosh. One of the stunt people later commented that there was shrapnel flying everywhere. You weren't safe no matter where you tried to hide. And it wasn't just running from the plane, but from what came after all of the exploding bits too. Woof. No thank you. And we'll take it a little bit lighter now, but not so light because it's still really gross. So let's talk about fake snow for a hot second. All I'm going to say about fake snow is back in the day, up through the 50s, it was actually asbestos. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So remember that the next time you watch It's a Wonderful Life or Citizen Kane or Wizard of Oz 2.
Wizard of Oz, yeah. Yeah.
And then think about those scenes where, like, some of them open their mouths to, like, catch it on their tongue. No. No.
It goes up their nose.
Yes. It's, like, in their eyes and, oh, no. Asbestos people, no. Oh, gross. Obviously, it's super dangerous. But people didn't realize that at the time. They really didn't. They had no clue about it, which makes you think of, like, the things now. Where you're like,
oh, yeah, what's no, going- like, right,
right.
We're going to find out in 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Many actors died from complications with filming with this stuff, using it, working with it. And a big name actor to actually come down with mesothelioma was Steve McQueen.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I knew he had died. But yeah, it was because of how much he had worked with that. Now, a lot of people will argue and say, like, hey, like, he was in the war, like, he had other things going on with him. But really, he was diagnosed with mesothelioma. And that's what ended up getting him. So speaking of toxicity, we can't not mention makeup. Because, oh, And no, I will reserve all of the Wizard of Oz things. But a big one for toxic makeup that doesn't involve that movie is actually Frankenstein.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could see that, considering mm-hmm. they probably were using some of the same stuff.
Yep.
They were. Sort of timing. What time was that movie? When did that movie come out?
Let me check that again. Ish. It was in the 30s, I believe. I should know this. So
probably around the same time, mm-hmm. right, as Wizard of Oz, roughly?
Yes. 31. It was 31. Okay. So yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they would be using A little before. But they would be using the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
And this is something that always, always comes to my head. It's like, people knew that this was black and white.
Oh, yeah. You know? So then...
why are we using, like, and they had to, like, they said, like, it was a lot of green makeup, you know?
Why would you need it?
Yeah, why are we going to that extent? I know, okay, sure, maybe, if you're doing a photo shoot, but still in the 30s, people were illustrating movie posters. There wasn't a lot of actually, like, taking pictures for movie posters. Those bad boys were drawn, my friends, and painted later. They could have just said, hey, paint his face green, you know? Karloff actually got pretty sick from it. And Karloff has been in a lot of movie makeup. And for that time frame, I mean, he was the Mummy. You know, he has had a lot of special effects done on his person on bare skin. And for that time frame, so dangerous. Yeah, and that's just to name one big movie and big name. There's so many people that have either contracted an illness or, like, been very seriously injured. I mean, talk about even James Bond's Goldfinger. Look what happened to that girl when she was painted gold. Like, even then, makeup was toxic. Crazy, crazy stuff. But I just wanted to touch on toxic makeup. We're not going to dive into that because, oh my goody gosh, we got some shit to talk about. So let's talk about real corpsey and cadavers. So from fake snow, we go to real corpsey cadavers. Yeah, you heard that right. It's going to get weird in here now. In 1988, there was a film called Men Behind the Sun that came out of Hong Kong. Allegedly, they had used real footage of a child's autopsy.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. And people can attest that this particular scene in this movie is too graphic. And speaking of real, let's talk about Apocalypse Now. Have you ever seen that movie?
A long time ago.
Yeah. It gets talked about, and it's one of those, it's like, if you've ever seen it, it sticks with you. If you didn't know this, be prepared. Take a deep breath and maybe don't eat for a hot second. Real cadavers were used on this movie set. And there were many on that set that knew it too. The police got involved. That's how crazy this got. And after getting into the investigation, they made an even more unsettling discovery. These bodies were definitely real, and some had been provided by grave robbers.
No.
Yeah. This is really recent. You know, we talk about grave robbers a lot on the show, but it's always back in the day.
Yeah.
And more recently with the N episode. But, like, damn. Yeah. This got to be so deep that they ended up having to investigate everyone on the set.
Somebody put that in the budget.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And that whole joke about how real skeletons are cheaper than fake ones
is not actually a joke.
Nope. Yeah. It's real. And a lot of people mention that in Hollywood. We'll talk about another movie that basically somebody on set said that. You might already know it, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just got really freaking weird. And the cops were like, the fuck is going on here? So they had to investigate every single person. And what is even worse is they couldn't identify these bodies, which that says other things about this case. There was evidence that was leading them towards thinking that somebody on the set was actually killing people to provide these cadavers.
That's beyond insane.
Yeah. So take it with a grain of salt, but this was a definitely a real investigation that went down. So whether or not people were really trying to make it look really real for the publicity or not, the cops were very concerned. And after some of this other shit that you're going to hear about, I don't even know if I'm surprised. In fact, many films over the years have used real skeletons because, well, you know, that old joke we just mentioned. Movies like Dawn of the Dead, Frankenstein, and Poltergeist, which Poltergeist will come up in another topic, definitely use real skeletons. So if you're watching a movie and something looks a little too real, maybe it is. Just
saying. Might just be.
Might just be. For one movie, the props department was told a skeleton they had was fake, but come to find out, was very real. And it was of a woman who had passed away in her 30s a century before.
Whoa.
Woof. Yeah, the police.
Where did they get it?
Nobody knows. It, like, passed hands. And it's like, because it makes you wonder, too. It's like, all right, well, we know that there's, like, a huge, like, warehouse of, like, props and stuff that kind of get used in different movies and shows and stuff. So maybe it was one of those deals where they're like, yeah, we got a, this fake skeleton and stuff can go with the other ones in here. And then it's like, JK, it's definitely real.
It's a really good fake.
Yeah, really good fake. Who did the special effects on the skeleton? We need to hire them. Nobody.
Yeah.
In that particular one, with them finding out that it was actually a real one, the police got involved. They had to investigate that. They ended up, because somehow, I don't even know how it happened, but like it ended up in a prop shop window, like to be sold. And a cop one day was driving past or something, and they're like, that kind of looks really real. And so then that's how the whole thing went down. But yeah. Okay, we are on to animals. Animals, big topic today. Animals are going to be brought up a lot and for the worst ways possible. So again, trigger warning on all of this shit. It's just going to go up from here. So animals, they were used as props and special effects. They still are, but it was really crucial back in the day when they didn't really have CGI or any way to really make something look real. And speaking of real, we're going to start with real lions. Yes, real lions. And it gets so macabre. In the days of early film, it was really difficult to find things that they could work with that were fake but still convincing. A lot of people went with authenticity. You're going to see that with gunfire because that was a protocol back in the day. If you saw an old movie and they were doing something that was kind of terrifying, the chances of that actor actually having to do said terrifying thing for real is pretty high. Just remember that. That's, oof, some of those black and white films where they're like hanging off of buildings and stuff. Nope.
Nope.
But back to real lions. When we think of earlier biblical theme movies, like the Ten Commandments and others, a lot of times we think of fighting lions. And yes, that's exactly what happened. In the 1919 film Male and Female, actress Gloria Swanson had to lie on a hard floor on her stomach, motionless, looking serene, as a real lion rested partially on her back. Back then, they drugged animals to keep them docile and sleepy and unfocused. But for this particular shoot, the lion was not drugged.
Oh, I mean, it's bad for all the
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things wrong with this, but like, yeah. Scary.
Yeah, very scary. And what is even worse was obviously she was very terrified. But she tried her damnedest to nail that in one go so she didn't have to keep filming that scene over and over. Which I don't blame her either, but imagine trying to stay calm and keep, like, you were on your stomach trying to, like, keep yourself calm with the breathing and stuff, and you've got a fucking huge-ass lion laying on your back.
Yeah.
Ooh, no. And what makes this worse is, like, that same lion 2 weeks later killed a crew person on set.
God.
Yeah. In order for them to keep the lion calm during that shoot with Gloria, they had to have a bunch of people circle her to keep distracting the lion so they could get that film, because they were trying to make sure that they could not have the lion focus on one particular person for too long, so it felt the need to charge. Yeah, no. No. This film was directed by the notoriously insane Cecil DeMille. And speaking of DeMille and lions, this isn't the only fucking thing that he pulled with that. We gotta talk about the 1932 film The Sign of the Cross. He, like, just picked the shit out of a group of lions that he had hired on for the filming of this. They were amping up to film a fight scene with the lions and the actors, and they have proof of this too. He would hit them to piss them off. Like, so exactly. And of course, like, they not only were they abusing the animals, killing animals, drugging them. Like, in this case, he's like, I don't want them to be drugged up. They need to be ready to fight. They need to be pissed off. This needs to be authentic. DeMille was a fucking psychopath. Allegedly, at one point in the film, he had said, quote, if I wanted some chicken shit lion, I would have hired that asshole from Wizard of Oz.
Oh, end wow. Quote.
Yeah. Oh, DeMille was a freaking monster. He would later try to pull the same stunt with his 1949 film, Samson and Delilah. Delilah, because I can talk today. After Victor Mature told him he would absolutely not fight a real lion, they argued for a long time. And DeMille was so not happy, but he finally gave in because Victor had a lot of up-close scenes of his face. And so it was so crucial that really nothing happened to him. Otherwise, their whole film would be screwed. So he finally, DeMille gave in. And they brought in a stunt double for Mature. And his stunt double had to fight a real pissed off lion one-on-one.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So if you've seen the movie or if you're going to watch it, you'll notice that there are scenes that are up close of Victor's face and then some that you can't really see a lot of him from the front at all. And that's because the ones far away, stunt double, obviously, for the ones close up to his face, they use a fake lion for that. Well, it was real, but it was stuffed, but it was fake. Yeah. DeMille, because of that whole thing, went on to call Victor being like the greatest coward ever born, like just completely insulted this guy. And he really tried to kind of wreck his reputation in film because he wasn't willing to do that, which really big cats in movies have a very cringy history. One movie that really took it too far was a movie called Roar. And we're going to actually go into depth about what happened on that set because there was a lot of moral mistreatment that went on. So that's what category that will be in. But let's talk about bees. Yes, bees. It's bees, baby. So if you've seen the 1992 film Candyman, the first scene that may come to your mind is the scene where the bees are coming out of his mouth, which, okay. Tony Todd was the person that played Candyman. And I don't know if you know this, but he passed away on Wednesday.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and what was really fucking creepy was when I was doing this research on him, it like popped up and I was like,
oh my gosh.
What?
Stuff like that seems to happen a lot.
Yes,
with us.
There's a lot of synchronicity. It's mm-hmm. like, okay. But yeah, like let's take a moment for Tony Todd. What a fucking awesome actor. He is like main staple in horror movie history. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind. He wasn't that old. He was like 64. Based on what I was seeing, I didn't see that they had disclosed like what happened. But yeah, I mean, Tony Todd, he was in TV shows too. He was in a lot of action movies, not just in the horror variety, but like he was in Final Destination, The Crow, Wishmaster, and obviously Candyman, being he was the main person. But yeah, he absolute staple in the genre. So rest in peace, Tony. You will be very missed. Back to bees. So yeah, Tony, the badass Todd, did that in real life.
Are you serious?
Dead fucking serious. Guess what they gave him? A dental dam. That's it. That's all they gave him to protect himself. And the only reason why they gave him a dental dam was so they couldn't fly into the back of his throat. So Todd was like, you know, I feel about this.
Yeah.
but he's a badass. If I get fucking stung, I'm getting an additional $1,000 for every sting. And they said yes. If that would have been me, I would have definitely been like, we need more than $1,000 per sting. Let's just say he made 23K from that scene alone, just from the bee stings. 23 stings. Mm-mm. Yeah, and he goes on to say, I negotiated a bonus of $1,000 for every sting during the bee scene, and I got stung 23 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Everything that's worth making has to involve some sort of pain. Badass Tony Todd. So, speaking of the things that can go wrong, even when you try to be really careful, that's like the name of the game on a fucking Hollywood set when it comes to stunts. So let's talk about stunts that have gone wrong. Whoa, here we go. And if you don't know where we can go from here, just wait. There's more. So let's talk about some close calls on set. And these are going to be quick fact rattle-offs, and I have subcategoried these as well. So let's talk about people who have almost drowned on set. While filming the water stunts for the 94 movie The River Wild, Meryl Streep almost drowned after a long day of shooting, and she had told the director prior that she was too tired to film another water scene. He did not listen to her. They filmed it. The boat tipped. She ended up in the cold water, and she couldn't get back out. There was somebody in a kayak just off scene to rescue, and when they got her onto shore and she was able to move again, she had even said, yeah, maybe the next time I say I can't do a scene, I really truly mean that I can't do another scene. She did make a full recovery immediately when they got her to shore and worked on her. But yeah, Gerard Butler almost drowned while shooting a surf scene for the 2012 film Chasing Mavericks. Before getting that role, he actually had no surfing experience. And while filming, a wave came, wiping him off the board. He got trapped under the water when another one came through, and he didn't have enough time to resurface, but luckily he was rescued and made a full recovery. Titanic star Kate Winslet also made the list. When they shot the scene where they were trapped behind that closed gate, the coat that she was wearing got caught on the bottom of the gate for real, and she couldn't get out of the water to take a breath for the scene. The only way that she was able to get out of that was to shimmy her way out of the coat. This was what we saw in the movie. In an interview that she had done later, she said that James Cameron didn't even bat an eye, and he told me to film it again. Yeah. And the last in the subcategory in this topic is the most chilling. In 2013, the movie Now You See Me, there is a famous scene where Isla Fisher's character is doing a disappearing act in a huge water tank. Her hands and ankles are chained, and in the movie, the act goes wrong and she starts screaming in the water. That's how the scene was supposed to go, but it was truly happening to her. It wasn't fake. The terror that you see on her face was real. People thought that she was just giving the role of a lifetime, but somebody on set started realizing that no, this was something going very, very wrong. They were able to get her out, but yeah, she was like, we're done here. People on sets that almost suffocated. We have Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future Part 3, Brendan Fraser in The Mummy. They both were almost hanged while shooting the new scenes for those movies. Jennifer Lawrence in Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, and Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Women almost suffocated on set as well. Jennifer Lawrence had come into major exposure with a fog machine, not able to breathe, and even more chilling, Mulligan's character, when they were filming the suffocation scene in Promising Young Women, her co-star had to suffocate her with a pillow. They had a thing in place to where if she tapped him on the leg, that was the sign to say, you need to stop because I'm actually getting close to losing control and like actually suffocating. That scene had been redone multiple times. They kept wanting to film it over and over again with really no break. They got to the fourth one trying to film it, and Carrie was really exhausted and she couldn't take it anymore. She ended up tapping Chris Lowell, her co-star's leg. Chris Lowell would go on to refuse to redo the take again, even though they were told to, because it shook him up so bad. He said, "That is something that still haunts me to this day." Let's talk.
Well, good on him.
Yeah, good on him.
Good on him for right. stopping.
Right? Like, holy shit. The other category I had is On the Edge. So Eli Roth in Inglourious Basterds. So in that scene where he was shooting Hitler's face off, the actors were standing on this fire stage and it got so hot and like it was, the flames were too large than what they're supposed to be for a fire stage and hotter than they were supposed to be. He had said that if they would have stood on that for 15 more seconds, everybody on that stage would have died in the collapse and burned to death. So yeah, Elizabeth Shue in the movie Cocktail, the tail rotor. So here's some pre-explanation to what happened. When you think about a helicopter and the tail rotor, when it's running, it's so fast that you can't see it. Okay? Remember that when we go into the scene. If you were to touch that thing, you're done. Like, in oblivion, right? When they did this scene with a helicopter for that movie, Elizabeth accidentally started running towards the tail rotor. Tom Cruise saw this and tackled her to the ground right before she made impact with it. She was really freaking close to being just in smithereens. And speaking of Tom Cruise and getting chopped, he actually was almost beheaded while they were filming The Last Samurai, for real. And also being almost beheaded, Gunnar Hansen. So he was the actor that did all of the Leatherface stunts for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So when they were filming that scene where Leatherface is chasing Sally through the woods, I mean, it's well known that he didn't really have a good visibility in that mask, but he actually tripped and fell while that chainsaw was still running, and it flew up in the air. It came down inches from his face. Yeah. And that was still when they didn't have, like, the fake, you know, thing. They used a real chainsaw.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then the last in this one is Jennifer Lopez in Shotgun Wedding. Her wedding dress got caught in the wheel next to a cliff on this, like, golf cart thing that they were filming. It was supposed to happen, but it was supposed to be more controlled. It lost control. She almost went over the cliff. She started screaming to her co-star to, like, take her and, like, because her wedding dress in that was kind of bigger. Yeah, she could not get it. It just went. So, yeah, he was able to pull her to safety, but it got really freaking close. And speaking of close, before we get to, this will be the last subcontext in the props and the special effects, but I called it Brace for Impact because this is wild. So Jason Statham in The Expendables 3. Jason was driving a 3-ton truck at high speeds when the brakes failed. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. This is like straight out of my nightmares. Like, holy shit. He launched 60 feet into the Black Sea. Luckily for Statham, he is an excellent swimmer. He's a pretty fit guy, and he knew what it took to endure swimming in situations like that. He was actually able to make it into a dive and get the F out of there and paddle back to shore. Lucky for him. Holy crap, that is a way to things I never want happening to me. Emily Blunt and again Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow. While
great movie.
Yes.
Also, very, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
So good. During the one car chase scene when Emily was driving and he's in the passenger seat, she was supposed to make a hard right and it did not work out. Tom ended up telling her to brake quick to get it to go how they wanted it for the scene, and she accidentally careened into a tree.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It would have killed Tom if they were in a slightly different position on the flip. Yeah, they both came out unscathed and they did laugh about it. But can you imagine? Yeah, they had a good laugh, but they probably didn't have clean pants. Uma Thurman and Pierce Brosnan in Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief. When shooting a scene, a van went rogue and started running towards Thurman and a few other cast and crew members on set. Brosnan saw this and ran after the van, jumped in, and like slammed on the brake and like got that bad boy like stopped before it hit everybody. The rest of the time that they filmed that movie, people made a bunch of James Bond jokes at him.
I was like, he's the real James Bond.
Yeah, the real deal. And dude, I mean, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan could save me from a rogue van any day. Ooh. All right. Now it gets gritty. And we're really, really going to get into some very big trigger warning topics. So please be prepared for that. And if you don't want to listen to that, well, you will have to skip ahead because we're about to get into moral mistreatments. And that's where I'm going to leave you for part one. Yes, I did it to you. I teased the shit out of you. There is more to come and it's just about to get nastier. So buckle up for part two, friends, because this shit is only getting more wild from here.
So we'll see you in the next one.
Yes, we will. Have fun. Be safe. Be careful when you're driving. Look out for Pierce Brosnan.
You know, if you need to be rescued, look for Tom Cruise. Yeah.
And we will talk to you in the next one.
Okay.
Bye.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tomtandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tomtandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.